Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Drive on KFH.
Hello, welcome back. Jive Talk here on The Drive with Bob and Jeff. Happy to have you with us. 869-1240 is the phone number. We will not be on the air tomorrow or Wednesday as we give way to the Major League playoffs. Two good series underway.
Sounds like it, yes.
You didn't watch them?
No, I watched the NL. I'm not watching A. I don't care.
So you're not watching the American League championship?
No, I don't. Good luck to them.
That's shocking to me.
Why is that? I'll watch some of it.
I mean, it's baseball.
Yeah, but my baseball season's over.
And the Red Sox.
My baseball season's over.
Mine isn't.
Yeah, it is. Yours ended three days before mine did.
I don't want baseball season to end until it's ending.
Well, it's over. I'm sorry.
Not for me. I look forward to it. John is with us. John, hello.
Hey, Raiders. John Gruden. Your Bob. Your football picks. They all really suck, don't they, Bob?
They suck, John.
John, why have you turned against me? I want an answer.
The Raiders, they really suck. Why did you get on them?
That's why you're angry with me.
That's one of the reasons, Bob. And your facetious brand of sarcasm really sucks, too.
John, I don't suck, do I?
You really suck, Bob.
How about Jeff? Does he suck?
Yes, he does. He doesn't suck as bad as Duda.
All right, thanks, John. There's John bringing.
Well, at least I suck. I take that as a compliment from John.
There's John keeping it real. Hey, he's got an opinion. By the way, due to texts, you miss nothing for songs 16 through 13.
Well, that's just rude.
What were the songs?
I don't know.
Look them up. Max, were you high on them?
Well, Carolina in My Mind by James Taylor, Against the Wind, I Travel On by Jason Eady, and If It Takes a Lifetime by Jason Isbell.
Yeah, that's shocking that those songs are in your top 15 or whatever.
What's shocking about that?
I don't know. I just don't get it.
You don't like Against the Wind, Carolina in My Mind?
I like Against the Wind. Carolina in My Mind's fine. It's certainly not in the top 20
of my list. And If It Takes a Lifetime.
I don't know. You suck, as John would say.
Yeah, you suck.
What happened to John?
There was a time
when John really liked me.
You don't suck as bad as Duda, but you do suck.
Maybe I do suck. I don't know. I don't know.
Again, it's a term of endearment almost from John.
Here's our friend Ryan, who has not called the show for a while. Ryan?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Ryan, you know you're an A-list caller to this show, right?
Front of the line. I appreciate that. You're too kind with your words. Thank you, and I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity you gave my son very generously this weekend as we said goodbye to Lawrence Dumont Stadium, and it was a real joy to see him have the opportunity to play in the last game in Lawrence Dumont Stadium history, and I thought it was appropriate in the top of the fifth inning, where your son, Bob, went against my son. Jeff, and we're not keeping score or anything.
Well, it was 11-10, but yeah,
right,
we're not.
It was, League 42-1. I'm just saying, we're not judging people individually. But, to that point, Jeff was 0-for-2 with two feeble groundouts to the first baseman, three unassisted if you're counting it at home. And my son was playing second base, and Jeff sent a screamer his way, and Riley was able to snag the ball, pirouette, and with a wild throw, and just the sheer speed of Jeff storming down the line.
Thank you.
He was able to beat that, and in a very important situation, loading the bases with celebrities down by four. They were able to tie the game. But just to see our two sons compete in that manner,
that was a ferocious battle between the two of us.
It really was.
It was a touching moment for both of us, Ryan.
Well, I sure enjoyed it, and I know that my son got a big kick out of it. He's in Salina playing football for Mays, freshman today, and he asked me to make sure that I said thank you for the generosity for allowing him to play with the League 42.
Well, I'll just say this. He caught a couple balls in left field that no one on our team would have caught, so we were happy to have him, Ryan.
That's very kind of you, and what a ball game last night. You know what? Here's what I take away from the Chiefs game. It took one of the greatest coaches of all time and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and 60 minutes minus 3 seconds to dethrone, you know, Patrick Mahomes. And it's been said on this program and on others, you know, there's not a moral victory, but I have never been so happy with the results of a loss than I was last night. And I wish they could just tie them up and play the rematch tonight. But
thanks.
I look forward to it, and it's wonderful to finally have a quarterback in Kansas City. Thanks, guys. Rock it out.
Thanks Ryan. Rock it out.
It is truth that if you're a Chiefs fan, you feel as content as you've ever felt about your quarterback,
right,
into the future. You have no concerns.
Even in a loss, there's no calling for somebody to get benched or.
But you feel like you're never going to have to worry about your quarterback situation, like so many teams in the league do year in and
for the
year
next
in and year
10
out.
To 15 years.
But please, I'm talking. I'm holding.
Yeah,
court.
A lot of teams worry about their quarterbacks.
There's something I'd like you to understand. When I'm on this kind of a roll, it's best just to leave.
You're not on a roll. You're reading in your Walter Cronkite voice, and no one wants that.
You want me to do that more often?
In the 17 years since the president passed.
Jeff, I could do what you do and ask a question that never ends.
No,
your question to Rob Nyer was, I thought you were reading his
which
book.
Which question?
Well, any one of them.
My question, I set it up with some context so the listeners don't think I'm just out here popping off with some kind of fake knowledge, and I want to have a connection with the guest that we have brought aboard.
Well, I just know the question, my eyeballs were looping by the end of it.
I think Rob appreciated it.
He may have. By the way, we do ask on Twitter, it has to do with Patrick Mahomes, how are we going to be talking about him in 10 years? I think it's interesting. We're asking you to look ahead, to look into the future. Will we be saying, actually, in 15 years, is he the all-time greatest and all-time great? What a fine career, or it just didn't pan out? How would you vote? After six games this year.
It seems like there's a lot of space between what a fine career and an all-time great.
Yeah. Well, there might be, but that's what
I'm going to go
have four
in that
choices.
Space. I'm going to go somewhere in that space.
So you don't think he's going to be an all-time great?
He might be closer to an all-time great than,
well,
what a
would
fine
be the next
career.
Thought down.
Joe Flacco's had a fine career, but Patrick Mahomes is going to be a lot better than him, most likely, right?
So what would be the next step down from an all-time great? Borderline Hall of Famer?
Or like...
If he's an all-time great, it's not a borderline Hall of Famer. So the next step down would be borderline Hall of Famer.
I don't know. That's a
but
tough one.
You need five categories. This is why Twitter frustrates me. You're right. But you also have just to have... He had a fine career. Yeah, you have to. That has to be
a
part of it.
I know, but a lot of guys
and
have
then
had
the other,
fine careers.
The other part of it has to be it just didn't pan out.
Randall Cunningham
so
had a fine career,
quiet,
not an all-time
again,
great.
Again, I'm on a roll. Again, that fifth response needs to be there. Borderline Hall
don't,
of Famer.
Don't blame Twitter for your shortcomings.
How would you have done it?
The all-time great, one of the all-time greats, perennial Pro Bowler, good career, or didn't pan out. That's how I would have done it.
So you don't
all-time great.
He's not going to be the all-time great.
That doesn't need to be on the table in year one.
He doesn't need to be the all. He's not going to be the all-time greatest.
Probably not.
4% think he is.
You know how many people are the all-time greatest? One guy.
Who?
Doesn't matter who.
Who is it?
It doesn't matter.
But who do you think it is?
At any given time, there's only one.
If there is one, then you have to know who it is.
Tom Brady. But it doesn't matter who it is because it's the great S. There can only be one.
There are always multiple people involved in the discussion.
But there's only one great S.
No, there's never one greatest.
Yeah, there is.
No, because it's subjective.
Then that should be off the table.
There's never one greatest.
Then that should be off the table.
I can't wait for the next 3 days. Earl, you're on the show.
Why?
I'll let you finish there.
Go ahead.
Hey, look, you know, Sutton should have been fired last year after we blew a 17-point lead in the playoffs at home to Tennessee, the kind of loss that made me and the Dr. Phil abuse fan.
You did not do well with that loss, I remember clearly.
Well, because it is like Gunther Cunningham with his antiquated schemes and ideas of defense rose up like Marley from Scrooge and went, "Ooh!" And guess what? We're seeing it again. Andy is a loyal dude to a fault, man. He is loyal to his coaches. He is loyal to a good meal. He eats it all in, but you know what? It's time to defecate old Bob Sutton out because that cat is going to cause us a problem again. I can't believe, you know, they call idiocy is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, and that's what Andy's doing. If we had just some measure of defense last night, I told anyone who would listen, if we get three stops, we can win. Three stops in a football game. And you know, it even got watered down to three times that they just got to settle for field goals at some point. But I've seen the no-punt games before. Dick Vermeil against the Colts at Arrowhead. Exciting game, but we walked out of the playoffs having lost 38-35.
Well, here's the thing, Earl. I think you're going to find out a lot about the Chiefs. I think they go 13-3 or 14-2. But they do have a couple of tests coming up that I think will tell us a lot about the Chiefs. And that's a road game at Seattle and a home game against Baltimore, besides the Rams game. But I think we're gonna have a chance to see the Chiefs answer some questions.
I truly believe that Patrick will be one of the great quarterbacks you can name check of all time when it's all said and done. I'll put it out there. Not being bold, said it before when I tried to get him in there last year. But let's say this. These questions don't need answered, Bob. It's a fait accompli. We've seen the test. We've looked at the scores before. As long as Bob Sutton is there, his defensive schemes don't work anymore, Bob. It is so, so bad and painful to watch. If we don't change that, we'll get some exciting football again. It's like being in the Big 12, being in Oklahoma.
Well, they're not going to change it in the season, so they're just not.
Well, Tampa Bay did today.
The Tampa Bay's terrible.
Coordinator, somebody out there in Radio Land, have pictures of Bob Sutton doing something immoral that we can get him out of town.
Hey, and Oklahoma did it, Earl.
Thanks, Earl.
All right.
Oklahoma replaced their defensive coordinator.
Right, after a loss. I don't see the Chiefs replacing him, but I could. Who knows? I just don't think that's going to happen. 869-1240, if you want to give us a call, another, as they all are, strange days. John said, I suck because I'm a Raiders fan. Let me just say this right now. I'm not a Raiders fan. I'm done. They're not worthy of my support, and I'm not saying that to get reaction. I'm just saying that they're an abysmal football team with no hope. John Gruden is not the answer.
Just can't be a fan of a team then.
Well, I'd be a fan of whatever I want to be.
Just watch enjoy the game.
I'll be a fan of whatever I decide I want to be a fan of.
That's not how
fandom
works.
I'll live my entire life the way I see fit.
That's not how fandom works. You don't choose a team.
Well,
the team chooses you. That's how fandom works.
I was a Rams fan for many, many years.
Well, they let you go.
Many years.
About five.
No, dating back to Kurt Warner and even before that. when they moved from L.A. to St. Louis. We've gone over this. That's the way it is. And again, you want to throw out there
but
that I'm not being
and you lost
that I'm being
them.
Disingenuous.
No, I'm not saying you're being disingenuous, but it's just a convenience. When the Rams moved, you decided to abandon them, and now the Raiders
they abandoned St. Louis.
No, their ownership abandoned
right.
St. Louis.
That's the Rams.
No, the players aren't. You think if the Indians moved out of Cleveland, I'd stop liking Francisco Lindor?
You'd stop being an Indians fan.
No chance.
So wherever they moved, you'd still be an Indians fan.
Of course.
I find that impossible.
You're
to
attracted to the players and the team on the field. Who cares about ownership?
So if the St. Louis Cardinals moved, I'd be a Cardinals fan still?
I would hope.
I don't know that I could.
Don't you care about Yadier Molina? If he was
playing?
Yeah,
but I'm talking about my relationship with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, what's
not
the difference?
What
if they're the Olympia
not
Washington
the San Antonio Cardinals. Not that the Cardinals are ever going anywhere. They're one of the most successful franchises in the history of the major leagues. But
right, they're not going anywhere.
But the Rams did, and it threw me for a loop.
Every franchise undergoes changes, and
so
some
it sounds
changes
like
are...
you've okayed me kind of going back to the Rams.
No, you either are a fan of a team or you're not. That's my
what
not
if my
you?
Heart's never really left the Rams, but my head did.
You made a show of the show, picking a new team. You made
right,
a,
and I made a mistake.
Grandiose,
and I made a mistake. And people that have been with the Raiders throughout their entire lives, I don't expect them to leave the Raiders.
What happens when the Rams go 4-12 again? Because it's going to happen. No team's good forever.
The Rams were awful when they first arrived in St. Louis, and they were awful for the last 10 years of their existence.
Well, what happens when the Los Angeles Rams go
4-12?
And
they were still my team. I just didn't want to talk about them.
So what happens when the Los Angeles Rams go 4-12?
Still be my team.
Okay.
I don't know why that's hard for you to understand. Dennis is next. Dennis, you're on.
Oh, my gosh, I was dozing off there.
Don't be dozing off. That's a bad sign for our show.
No, I tell you what, Bob, looky here. I've been a Dodger fan all my life. When they moved from Brooklyn, it pissed me off, but I'm still a Dodger fan.
Did you need a moment to regroup when they moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles?
Like I say, I was mad as heck. I couldn't imagine my Brooklyn Dodgers in the L.A. Coliseum or something? Come on, give me a break. I thought it was the end of the world almost. But it took me little time to... They're still the Dodgers. They still had the best pitching, and they had the base stealing, and they had all the things they had in Brooklyn. So
and Jackie left, too. That must have made it even more difficult when he didn't join them in Los Angeles.
Well, like I say, it was hard to get used to for the first few years. But when they finally got to Chavez Ravine, it was back to being the Brooklyn Dodgers again, I guess.
Well,
I have a question to ask you fellas.
Did you see
the AAC all-conference team, first and second team?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I saw the women's team, but I've somehow missed the men's. I'll make sure I have a look at that.
Well, what I wanted to point out to you is the strangest thing I've ever seen. First and second teams combined, and they have all guards except Taco Fall and McDuffie.
Wow.
All the rest of them are guards.
Wow. That is strange.
That is strange. Well, it's going to be an interesting year in the AAC. I don't think it's going to be maybe as loaded as it was last year. But from the sound of things, it sounds like it's really going to be good next year and for a couple of years thereafter.
I think you're right. Everyone seems to be rebuilding this year.
All right, Dennis. Thank you. We appreciate hearing from you. 869-1240 is the call.
Shockers picked eighth.
Eight. That's probably too low, in my opinion. But what do I know? I don't have as good a feel for this conference, obviously, as I did for the Valley. It's unfathomable to me to think that any Wichita State team could be picked to finish eighth in a conference, but there's nobody returning outside of Marcus McDuffie that had any juice for this basketball team last year. So I guess that makes some sense, doesn't it?
It does. Here, the first team is B.J. Taylor, Jalen Adams, Jeremiah Martin of Memphis, Jerron Cumberland of Cincinnati, and Quentin Rose of Temple. Second team, Corey Davis of Houston, Taco Fall, Marcus McDuffie, and Jeremy Foster and Jamal McMurray of SMU, and Sterling Taplin of Tulsa.
Well, he had a good game against the Shockers last year. So, yeah, you got Central Florida picked to win it. Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis, UConn, Temple, SMU, Wichita State, Tulsa, Tulane, East Carolina, and South Florida. Preseason Player of the Year is B.J. Taylor from Central Florida. We're getting there. Freshman of the Year, Nate Hinton from Houston. That's preseason Freshman of the Year. So, interesting.
Surprised the kid from Memphis didn't get that.
Here's Larry. Hey, Larry.
Hey, I want to go back to the Chiefs for a second, and I want to disagree with Earl, who called a few minutes ago and wanted to do something bad with Bob Sutton. And my comment is just that, you know, Bob Sutton's not the one playing defense, and he's calling it, but they've got players injured. They cut Marcus Peters loose and got nothing for him. Marcus Peters, arguably their best defensive back. Well, not arguably, their best defensive back that played last year. They've got three safeties who are out, and the guys that they have can't keep from interfering on long passes. So that's all I've got to say is you got to have players to play defense, and right now they're very thin, and without Justin Houston there too, they're very, very thin on defense. And so until they get healthy, this is the best they're going to be. I don't think changing the coordinator is going to solve the problem.
Thanks, Larry. I think there's probably somewhere in the middle of those two arguments is probably where I'd lie. Back in a minute, we'll play a game. No game tomorrow because no show. No show Wednesday. It'll be Jeff and a co-host of his choosing on Thursday. I'll be back Friday. And then next week we get back to normal. We're here every day. You can depend on us. Back in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.